Isabel, I'll start with you. The Courage Center, this is a new project. What is the idea behind this?
Well, we know that certainly technology has made a huge difference for many of our patients in rehabilitation. And I think there's a quotation that we like to use that for most people, technology makes things easier. But for someone with a disability, technology makes things possible. We understand that there is a huge opportunity to really explode into this area. And so we see the Courage Center as a hub for technology development in rehabilitation.
What is the need for this?
Well, many of our patients stay with us for a very short period of time, but then they go back to their homes and their communities. And so we have a very small window of opportunity to ensure that we are providing the best fit in terms of technology to enable them to live independently at home. Technology is becoming cheaper and cheaper. But that said, we want to make sure that what we're offering has proven outcomes so that we're able to collaborate with other centers around the world to produce research and to track outcomes around the technology that we're using in rehab.
Ted, what is your role in this project?
Well, we started with an idea and a concept and worked in conjunction with Isabel to develop the Courage Center, and now we're moving it forward by more or less fulfilling the mandate of the foundation, which is to enhance patient care and support research here at the Glen Rose, and also to network and build relationships with the stakeholders through the community. So with the Courage Center, that fits right into the mandate that we have as the board.
Now, you're going to be housing it here at the Glen Rose. What do you have to do in terms of either fundraising or getting together the resources that you need to make this a reality?
Well, there's a lot of work ahead of us, and what we're currently in is our what we call our lead gift phase, where we're looking for and going to the community for donations and contributions of anywhere from $100,000 to $1 million. And once we have completed that phase, then we'll be moving on to the other phases of fundraising to complete our total $4 million objective.
What do you have to do to the building here in order to accommodate everything?
Well, that's up to the designers and the architects, but what we'll be doing is we'll be taking and reconfiguring a space here in the hospital now, upgrading it, updating it, and bringing it into the new generation, a new reality of cutting-edge technology.
Well, this cutting-edge technology, some of the machines that you were showing me, the robotics and that sort of thing, they must be terribly expensive. Can you give me an idea of what the price tag might be on even just one of those items?
Well, certainly one of the items we showed you was the Locomat, which helps support patients and help them walk on a treadmill. And those pieces of equipment are anywhere from $300,000 to $400,000 U.S., and we think they're going to make a tremendous difference in enhancing the patient care and allowing our patients to become better contributors or more contributors to society once they've gone through their rehabilitation here.
Will all of this fit in one space?
Well, it won't all fit in one space, but it'll all fit somewhere. And so what we're going to be doing is creating a hub, and what we will be doing is taking some of the technologies and moving them throughout the hospital, but still having them connected. I view the Courage Center as well as we say, the hub, and it's kind of the brains and the network of the whole facility, and then everything will be connected into the Courage Center.
Isabel, tell me a little bit about some of this technology.
Well, Cheryl, we see it sort of falling into four groupings. First one is robotics, and we see many opportunities for robots and robotic devices to help our patients. So they could be robotics with orthotic components. There could be robotics that assist children in play, perhaps seniors to interact with their environment. Even robotic caregivers are kind of out there at this time. So certainly many opportunities with robotics. The second area is virtual reality and virtual rehabilitation. I think sort of moving into the gaming area, We know that rehab can be very tedious. It's hard work, but it requires that concentrated effort over a prolonged period of time. And so anything that can make it fun, entertaining, to really keep people motivated is really what we're looking at there. The third area that we have seen as a focus for the center is telehealth or telerehabilitation. And that is where we have the opportunity to connect patients with their home communities. Inpatients stay here, for example, for maybe 6 weeks or so, whereas maybe 10, 15 years ago or 20 years ago, they were here for 6 months. So our time with them is very short. Many of them we follow on an outpatient basis, but it's very important to connect into their home environments. And now technology, the telehealth technology, is certainly making that much more possible. It is also something that Alberta government is certainly espousing in the Vision 2020 document. And the fourth area for the Courage Centre is the cognitive learning piece, and that's focusing on some of the new software and hardware that helps with memory issues, etc. And with our aging population, that's something that we see as a big opportunity.
My understanding is that you have about 20,000 patients that work out of the Glen Rose or come here. Do you cover all ages? Like, how will this technology help your patients?
Well, currently we actually cover the whole lifespan, from very, very young children to seniors, and to some extent, technology is used in all of those various age groups. We have over 120 programs and services at the Glen Rose, and so we see the Courage Centre as an opportunity to leverage the use of more technology for our programs and services.
Ted, can you give me an example of some of the technology, the virtual reality technology that's out there now that would be of benefit to patients like your children?
Well, it's quite exciting, actually, with what has come on stream now for patients here at the hospital. One of the initial pieces of virtual reality equipment that we have here is the Nintendo Wii, which is widely available to anybody out in the public. And what it does, it can be used by physiotherapists to enhance their physiotherapy. Physiotherapy in its own right can be at times tedious and mundane, and by adding an element of fun, and as the Wii is play, that's what we'll do with it, we'll play with it. It tends to add interest, and as I say, in the long term, I think will enhance a better patient outcome. We also have here demonstrated volleyball, a virtual rehabilitation where you stand in front of a screen and you can look at a TV and you can play volleyball over a net. You can catch hockey pucks. Somebody can shoot hockey pucks at you with a glove. And what that does is perhaps somebody with motor difficulties, movement disorders, difficulties, it now, instead of, again, simply going through some routine motions, can now be taught and rehabilitated with motion to try and catch a hockey puck again, making it fun and adding that game element to it.
Can you track these things and see if they're actually being effective with the patient?
Yes, the physiotherapists have various ways of measuring outcome, because outcome is important, let's face it. It's important to know if we're adding something new and doing something new, is it of benefit, is it helping? And physiotherapists, through their methods of measuring motion and gait and joint flexibility, do have the ability to measure these improved outcomes, and that's what they're finding.
So essentially you're wiring the patient and keeping track of them on computer, is that it?
Well, not so much on computer, but on physical movement. They can take and measure muscle flexibility and joints. We do have the Syncrude Center for Motion and Balance, which, when you ask, yes, through an element with the Syncrude Center, they can measure and do gait analysis and computer analysis of improvements. So yes.
Isabel, one of the things I found interesting was the smart house, mm-hmm. as it were, that you were showing me. Tell me about that.
Well, right now we have an independent living suite that is adjacent to the proposed Courage Center. And it's a little apartment, if you will, that's used for patients when they're just about ready to be discharged home. And it's to give them an opportunity to trial the pre-discharge, perhaps with their spouse or whatever, to see whether they're going to be able to cope independently without, you know, therapists and nurses and physicians and whatnot at hand. I mean, there certainly is the opportunity if they get into trouble where there will be someone to help them out. And we see the opportunity to basically kit that little suite out with many sensor devices to create what you might call a smart home, and to be able to monitor the outcomes of the patients while they're in the independent living suite.
What would be some of those sensors?
Well, for example, there might be motion detectors, and those would enable us to determine, you know, to what extent patients are moving around when they're on their own. Are they using the kitchen facilities? Are they cooking for themselves? Are they able to prepare meals? Are they able to use the washroom facility, you know, et cetera? How independent are they? Or are they just sitting watching television, for example? Some of the other new technologies that are out there enable you to determine, for example, what food has been removed from the refrigerator, and you know, whether the families or the patient is eating appropriately. Those are just some examples.
What's on your wish list for equipment?
Well, actually, just a little bit to backtrack on the wish list. One of the key components around this project was to ensure that our staff are right up there with us, supporting us with the project. And so what we did about a year ago is we created a sort of an Eaton's catalog of various pieces of technology and devices that were out there. Pieces of equipment and technology that we became aware of either through discussions with colleagues, through review of the literature, perhaps something that someone had seen at a conference or had learned about over the internet. And we had the staff vote on what they felt would be most useful to them in their therapy. And if there wasn't something in the catalog, to give us other examples of devices. So one of them, for example, that a lot of therapists thought would be very helpful would be a simulated driver assessment console. And so this would be very similar to what airplane pilots use to learn how to fly. And right now we have a car that's actually in the current space, which will be removed when the construction starts. But with this type of device, you would actually not require a big car. You could actually, in a much smaller space, be able to determine whether or not the patient can get in and out of the car, to what extent they're able to drive the car. So that's just one example.
We're into the age of robotics, and even robots running around as caregivers. Is that in the near future?
Well, certainly we've seen coming out of Japan, particularly, that is something that has been developed. Looking at are there possibilities to trial some of that technology here? And I think as people become aware of the Courage Center, there will be more opportunities. Developers will be coming, I think, to us and asking us to trial some of their equipment.
What sorts of partnerships do you have going in the community to help the Courage Center come along?
What we've done is we've reached out to a number of our business leaders and individuals in the community to share with them our vision of what we foresee in the Courage Center, garnered their interest and support, and in turn, either financially or through gift in kind with some of the abilities that they have through their companies, they're lending support to this initiative.
And how about research?
Well, research is always very important. You know, research, I don't think we can ever minimalize or marginalize the importance of research in our society. If we think of it, anything we do, anything we eat, anything we drink, it all has come back to research. And it's the same here with the Courage Center, that I think that research will help us through the Courage Center to continue to grow our knowledge about technology, of outcomes, as we've spoken about earlier. And, you know, as we can see, the sky's the limit over time with what we can do with the Courage Center.
Isabel, do you have some things that are coming along from, say, the University of Alberta or University of Calgary?
We actually have been working very closely with our university partners, and during the creation of our technology plan involved many external stakeholders from, for example, Faculty of Rehabilitation Medicine, Mechanical Engineering, etc. We've also been linking with NAIT, the Alberta Advanced Education and Technology. We've had discussions with Alberta Heritage Foundation for Medical Research. So I think there are many, many opportunities to really promote research within the Courage Center.
Tell me about the Rejoice device.
Oh, this is something that Dr. Arthur Prochaska, who is one of our research affiliates at the Glenrose, he is a researcher with the University of Alberta, and this is a toolkit, if you will, that he has developed with his colleagues. And we are trialing this, as are a number of centers across the province. And it's almost like a toolkit that has many different components that someone, for example, following a stroke or perhaps even a spinal cord injury would need to be able to use. For example, you know, how do you open a door? How do you use a spoon? How do you use a can opener? I'm just giving examples. And so all of these different devices are all part of this one toolkit. And there are opportunities to track the success rate of patients as they relearn to use these tools and devices. So that's just an example of where technology is going. And there are opportunities to link into someone's home via telehealth so that toolkit can be in their home. They don't have to be sitting at a hospital with a therapist monitoring their success.
How is the Courage Center going to be designed? Isabel, how is the Courage Center going to be designed?
Well, we haven't signed off on the final drawings yet, but from where we are in the process, which is very close to that phase, it's very exciting. It's essentially going to be very open space. There will be about a 6-inch built-up floor so that all of the wiring and necessary infrastructure can be under the floor, and we won't have to have plugs and wires and cords running everywhere. It's a 2-story space, which is adjacent to several of our inpatient rehab units, as well as a PTOT therapy space. So it's very much integrated into the facility. And there will be sort of three sectors of the center. In the center will be a pod, which will be used for virtual reality, and it'll be a bit of a mini theater. There'll also be a learning center or classroom space, which will be handicapped accessible, of course, which will be used for teaching patients, families, students, etc., about some of the newer technology. There'll be activity centers within the space where some of the new technology can be trialed. And we'll also ensure that we have ceiling lift technology built into the space as well. As you enter into the space, there will be audio-visual components so that people can get some sort of a glimpse of what some of this technology, how it will impact patient care in the rehab world.
Is this unique, or are you modeling it after some other facility? Where have these ideas come from?
Well, actually, it is quite unique. 2 years ago, when we started talking about this, it was just a very rough dream, sort of almost in black and white. But I think as we have worked on our technology development plan at the facility, and certainly done lots of research and linking with other centers and other rehab hospitals around the world, it's become more sort of formed in technicolor, if you will. Ironically, there is a similar development happening in Toronto at the Rehab Institute of Toronto, a different focus, but again, I think they have seen the need to really venture into this technology realm.
Ted, when you look at the demographics, of course, us baby boomers are now aging and becoming older. Is that affecting some of the technology that you believe you'll be choosing for the future for the Courage Center?
I think that it will be. I think that with the whole realm of virtual rehabilitation and technology exploding, that I think that currently there are probably things we haven't even thought of yet that we don't know we need. But as this whole field grows and as we learn about the Courage Center and teach ourselves by opening it and getting the technology in, I think that the basis or the seed of knowledge will start to feed on itself and grow. And, you know, 5-10 years from now, who knows where we're going to be.
What do you like about this project?
I like the virtual rehabilitation the best because I think it hits very close to home. As I mentioned earlier, I have twin boys that are patients here. So I, on a very visceral level, can see what benefit there is. And if there's benefit for myself and my family, there's tremendous benefit to other families as well.
And Isabel, what keeps you going on it?
I think it's an opportunity for the Glenrose and for Alberta to really stake our claim in this new arena of rehab technology. We know that the number of people with chronic conditions continues to grow. We know that their population continues to age. We know that there are many areas of disability that unfortunately the numbers are increasing. And I think that this will be an opportunity to really show to the world what we can do.
Thank you very much, Isabel.
You're welcome.
And Ted, thank you very much.
And thank you for your interest in the story.